So I'm really glad to be here worshiping with the Community Church of Hong Kong in this moment. I will send the greeting and love and our gratitude from Haven of Hope, Sister Andy Skull Holistic Care Center, to all the members, brothers and sisters in the Community Church of Hong Kong. Really wonderful. I must say that in the past 1 year or so, we are walking through difficult times, but in the Holistic Care Center, we do see the faithfulness of the Lord and His love showing to those who are needy and even to those who are dying in the midst of the when we walk through the valley of shadow of death in the past 1 year, not just in Hong Kong, but for the whole world. We're really glad that we are not alone, because we trust that and we do see that brothers and sisters in Community Church of Hong Kong and also from other places are really walking with us through this difficult time and also with us working in this ministry. So with the promise of our Lord that His perfect love will be with us. So actually, we don't fear much in the past 1 year. We just work faithfully, setting up infection control guideline and also find ways to really facilitate for admission for new patients, especially who are dying, and into our center. And really, through this year, we do see a lot of loving story showing God's love, how God's love can reach to those who are needy and who are dying in our place. We really see God's presence. And really also want to share with you. Later on, Pastor Judy will share some of this loving story with you. And in past 1 year, we also see the faithfulness of our Lord by granting us a big sum of money through the JC Charity to build up a new building, what we call the Extension Project. And in about June last year, we received a donation from the JC Charity. And this money, around more than about 500 million, and will be used for building an extension project, phase one, for our center. Yeah. And please, next slide. So in this project, we will see the building of the phase one of our extension project, which is a palliative care block. And also, we are also planning for our phase two, which is renovation of our center. And we see that in the past 1 year, especially, how Hong Kong or the needy people, especially who are experiencing terminal cancer and a lot of other terminal illness, who really need a place to pass the end of their journey into the last phase of their life in Hong Kong. So this extension project really let us see that the materialization of God's promise and vision in our heart in the past 10 years or so, that there are lots of needs in the community, in our community in Hong Kong. A lot of people are dying without experiencing the love of God. So this extension project, phase one, really help us to see God is faithful. But also, let us see that there's still a lot of people, needy people, need us to reach out to them. So in this extension project, we really need your help and working together with us so that we can see God's grace, and also more needy people can come into our center, and also we can reach out to the community through our home care team, so that those who are dying and who are needing help, especially for those elderly and also patients with terminal cancer, they can be admitted or can be served in their place, in their home, in the community, through our reaching out to them. So here I would like to share this vision of extension project with you, so that you can continue to work with us and share God's love through our ministry to the community, not just in the building, but in our ministry and loving ministry. Brothers and sisters can come later to our center, and then to also we can go together to the community to serve those who are needy and dying. So we share this vision with you. Pray that the Lord will work in all our hearts so that we can work together, and so that God's love can show to those who are really dying and needy. So may the glory be with you and with God, and the love of God sharing to you. Thank you.
And we thank you for your ongoing work and ministry. Let me just pray for you and, you know, a representative of your whole team there at Haven of Hope. God, I thank you for Dr. Paul and all those serving, God, in hospice and palliative care, God, giving of, you know, their time, their hearts, God, to come alongside those who are in their last leg of their journey. God, we pray for their ongoing work, even in this COVID season, God, to represent your heart to those who they minister to, God. So may you and your spirit continue to fill them, we pray, and thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Paul, for your work. Yeah, we appreciate that. Well, this morning we have two special guests, and we're excited to welcome Chaplain Judy in just a moment, who's the chaplain at Haven of Hope and who we support through our ongoing ministry work with Haven of Hope. And so she's going to share a great word for us today, but I want to read the passage that she'll be speaking from. It's Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Well, when we're here meeting in person, we always clap for those who are guest speakers. So maybe at home you can clap for Judy, and I'm sure, and those here can clap for her as we welcome Chaplain Judy this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Wei. This is my honor to be here to share with you. Good morning, brothers and sisters, wherever you are. I'm so glad to be here to share with you the Word of God. Let me introduce myself. I am Chaplain Judy. I'm from Haven of Hope, Sister Annie Scott Holistic Care Center. We are a hospice, so I work with nurses, social workers, doctors, and they are a great team. And I'm so blessed to be a chaplain there, helping the poor and the needy and the sick. We have patients from all walks of life, but they all meet the same end. We need to help them and their families to embrace the last journey. As I'm going to talk about the great love in small deeds today, I hope that you will catch a glimpse of God's great love for you as well as for those around you, because through you, people will see God's great love. Just now, Pastor Wei has spoken and read us on the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 19 to 25. I would like to focus on verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Here in NIV, the word is spur. While in NLSV and in King James Version, the word is provoke. And in the New King James, the word is stirred up. The original Greek word is paroxysmos, which carry a positive connotation, which means encourage, stimulate, and stir up. On the other hand, it can be translated with words with a negative connotation, like disagreement, insight. Just for your interest, the English word paroxysm is derived from the word Greek word here, which means the spreading really quickly. As the COVID swept around the world, we are overwhelmed by the spread of the coronavirus. But remember this, love is more contagious than any virus, and it works faster than any vaccine in terms of stimulating us to do good works for the Lord. Before we answer the question, how we spur one another to love, the first question we need to ask ourselves, why do we love? For those around us, we love and care. This question is unnecessary because we love them naturally, right? But when the recipient of our love are from different political views, different religion, or even they watch the Super Bowl, but they are for another team, right? You find it hard to love them. Just the end of last year, during the COVID time, we have a new patient. He used to be a gangster, and he was an ex-drug addict. His hair is quite long. He was very thin. It's almost like he's starvation, under the starvation. Do you love this kind of people? Do you find it hard to love them? In Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus tells us that, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So loving others, especially the unlovely ones, is the fulfillment of the second greatest commandment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. In order to fulfill the greatest commandment to love God, loving others is our lesson 101, the foundation course for us to learn to love God. As you have already know, in verse 24, that love, the Greek word is agape, the unconditional love from God. As we venture into the ministry of love, as the author of the book of Hebrews taught us in verse 19, believers can enter the most holy place, which represents God's presence. We can enter by what? Is it by our good works? No, it's by the blood of Jesus. The reason we can reconnect with God is not because we were saints to begin with, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus. He, being the priest for the whole world, has sacrificed not the ox, not the lamb, but himself. As Paul said in Romans 5:8, But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus demonstrated the utmost example of agape love. Before we can love the unlovable, let us look inward and search our heart. The agape love is given to us in the first place. And now it's our turn to share this unconditional love to others. The second question we should ask ourselves is, why do we love? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, it's a beautiful passage that illustrates agape love. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, and it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. After knowing what love is, the third question is, where does love start? As we are ushering in the Chinese New Year and the Valentine's Day in less than a week time, our world is constantly promoting the idea that giving money or buying expensive gifts are the way to go to show love. But is it true? Where is the last time when you felt being loved? In our hospice center, families tell us how we were different from all the others' hospital they visit. They saw us being standing out, very different. Someone said we were the best. Why? Because they saw love in small details. One of the family said, our staff, when they swept the floor underneath the bed, they don't just swept away the shoes or the slippers. They carefully pick up the slippers and swept. They see a lot of us took an extra mile in small details to show love. King Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, a word aptly spoken is like apple of gold in setting of silver. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciples, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Now, let us go back to the last question. How we spur one another towards love. We probably know that love can encourage each other to do good things. But we also need to be aware that as we endeavor into the good deeds in the name of love, it can trigger disagreement and debate. As in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 39, Barnabas has a sharp disagreement with Paul for the sake of giving Mark the second chance for mission. The word disagreement comes from the same Greek word, paroxysmos, which translates into the English word spur. We need to bear in mind that our perspectives are the result of our deeply rooted value system, which we learn throughout our upbringings, our family of origin. Gary Chapman, the author for the book Five Love Languages, taught us that we all have different love languages. That means different things may symbolize love to us. Perhaps we learned these love languages since we were young. The first one was word of affirmation. Second one, acts of service. The third one, quality time. The fourth is receiving or giving gifts. And the fifth one, the physical touch. Now, let me share with you a story that happens in our centers. If time permits, I will share with you more stories. When you listen to it, I want you to figure out what are the different love languages we have spoken. The first story is about an 80-year-old terminal cancer patient. I call him Bob. when Bob was first admitted, his youngest son came along with him. But his son said, even if one day Bob die, no one else will come to see him except me. So day in and day out, we saw only this youngest son come once in a while. Why was that? Actually, there was a sad story behind it. For Bob's three other older kids, they had suffered a long history of family violence under Bob's hand. So after they grew up, they hated him so much that they cut off the contact with Bob for the past 20 years. Just around that time, Bob's wife also left him to live with the oldest daughters. In the recent years, Bob's wife developed dementia, so she actually came back to live with Bob for a while, for 3 years. But the happy time faded away very quickly. One day she fell at home and her legs were fractured. And after some time of hospitalization, she was sent off to elderly home. So Bob was left alone. And soon after that, Bob was diagnosed with cancer. He was so weak that he can barely walk. So he was sent to the hospital. And after a certain time of treatment, the doctor find no further treatment can reverse the situation. So Bob was sent to our center for palliative care. And in our center, our social worker and I tried to reconnect Bob with his family. We draft our plan to send Bob to the elderly home to meet his wife. But unfortunately, Bob suddenly deteriorated. His doctor's prognosis showed that his time was counted by day. There was no way he could commute to the elderly home, even with our shuttles. Just when we thought Bob has missed the big chance to reunite with his family, God's hand began to orchestrate the turn of events. When I arrived at Bob's bedside, I found his younger son stood speechless next to him, like a mourning statue. I start chatting with Bob, and I recall the last time when I talked to him. He told me he didn't know where his wife was living when she was transmitted to the elderly home. So she asked around the neighborhood, and she found the neighbor who knew about this address. So he found his way by walking there. He was very weak himself, so he was walking without any assistance except a walking stick to support his feeble legs. And suddenly he burst out in tears, and I asked him, "Why are you crying?" And he told me, he recalled the time when he met his wife. He saw her bound in a wheelchair, living alone in the elderly home. It just broke his heart. Then I echoed his love deep in his heart. And I searched his feelings. And he confessed that behind his tears, he was very, very sorry for ill-treating his wife in the past. But now he has lost the chance to take care of her. So I led him in a confession prayer. He followed me word by word in prayer. Tears streamed down his face as he followed me to pray. After the prayer, I asked his younger son to wipe away Bob's tears. This short prayer not only consoled Bob's guilt-ridden heart, it actually moved his younger son from his hopeless state to an action mode. He used to say, "No, it cannot be done. No, it cannot be done." But he suddenly changed. He first contacted his sister so that we can arrange a video call for Bob to see his wife and his daughter. And during the call, Bob stared at the video. For the longest time, there was a great silence, but tears in his eyes. And he said, "Thank you." The word "thank you" melted away the iceberg between them. Yet, according to the younger son, the most unexpected turn yet to come. the eldest son, who hated Bob the most, replied to his brother's WhatsApp and decided to visit Bob. As Bob saw his eldest son for the first time in 20 years, he was so moved. He was shaking. He tried to sit up, but he was so weak, he can't do it. But his eldest son patted his shoulder and said, "So many years already." This simple phrase, plus his presence, marked the son's forgiveness to his father. Let bygone be bygone. At Bob's funeral, 7 family members show up to say goodbye to Bob. His younger son, who was a non-believer, said it was truly a miracle. And I can testify, God wiped away Bob's tears. The coming pictures, you see the very cute cookies, right? It bears a story of a young cancer patient in her 20s. Her name is Sui. Her last wish was to visit Hong Kong Disney with her mom and sister so she could see the favorite characters, the grizzly bear. But due to her severe condition, the green light was never on. But her doctor never gave up on her. She invited the ex-patient's daughter, who was a gourmet baker, to bake some of these lovely handmade cookies with the grizzly bear pictures on top. Even though she cannot go where she wants to, this lovely cookie brings the joy and love to her family. And the last picture, wow, that's a really cute baby. Well, who are the baby in your heart? The last story is about a pastor. The apple of his eyes, the baby of his heart, is his wife. She was a terminal cancer patient dying in our hospice. He did a lovely, beautiful service for her before her homebound trip to heaven. You may be surprised what kind of service he did. It's not a Sunday service like we did now. It was a hair washing service. Our nurse let the pastor in the bathroom, and for the first time in his life, he washed the hair of his wife, nice and clean, just before she returned home to heaven. The last hair wash meant a great deal to the pastor and his wife. As I reflect on these stories, I see the beautiful lesson behind them. First, love is unique, genuine, but simple gift. Before we can spur each other to love, we can go back to the origin of love, the fountain of love. As 1 John 4:19 say, we love because He, that God, loved us first. Go back to God for direction, and He will show you what other people's needs are and what love languages that can speak to their heart. And second, love is empowering. God's love is so empowering that it stimulates us to break through from our old mode, from our hopeless state, and help us to achieve the impossible beyond our expectation. And last but not the least, love reconnects. It heals the heart. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Prophet Isaiah also tells us in Isaiah chapter 58:12, "Your people will rebuild the ancient ruin and will raise up the age-old foundation. You will be called the repairer of broken wall, restorer of street with dwellings." We, you and me, all of us are called by God to rebuild, repair, and restore people of broken heart as well as their broken relationship. In the beginning, I'll tell you about this patient who was a drug addict, and he rejected the Lord all his life. And guess what happened to him? Yesterday, I did a baptism for him. And he told me, all his life he rejected the Lord because I did not see God in those Christians, the so-called good people. But in our hospice, all of you love me. You did not despise me. You accepted me. I see God's love in you guys. I pray that as the day of Jesus returning, God's great and generous love can do small but beautiful things through you. I would like to close today's sermon with Mother Teresa's famous quote. What I can do, you cannot. What you can do, I cannot. But together, we can do something beautiful for God. Amen.